Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life and schedule to join me today on this very special broadcast, Friday, March 8th, as I speak up and be a voice for women on International Women's Day 2019, a very, very important day here on the cross in the desert. This is the passion of my life. This is what I look forward to every Monday and Thursday, to be able to stand and support the suffering and oppressed women in the Middle East. I want to begin today's broadcast with a word of admonition from my Facebook friends on this very important day for women all over the world, from my dear friend Gil Layton, who herself is a human rights activist. She writes, on International Women's Day 2019, my thoughts go out to those women and men genuinely fighting against the abuse of girls and women at the hands of misogynists and tyrants, their cultures and their enablers. It is always right to tell the truth about who they are and how they achieve their abuse of females. Unless we do that, we have no chance of stopping vile practices like women being seen as the property of men, as worth half of men, of being forced to cover up or face beatings, and worse, of stoning, acid attacks, and other violence based on gender. It is never a political issue, simply a human rights issue. We must stand up against those in power who abuse that power to bully, intimidate, and lower the self-esteem of girls and women. Thank you so much, Gil, for being a voice for suffering women all over the world. This from my dear Facebook friend, my dear Iranian friend. She is the co-author of our newest book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. She has been suffering with the flu, and she lives in Sweden where it's very cold, so please pray for her. But she writes something very special today in honor of women on International Women's Day, and she writes from an Iranian perspective of one that has lived there. Here's what she says. In recent days and weeks, women in Iran have circulated calls to demonstrate on International Women's Day, including, for example, outside the Ministry of Labor. As this particular story is being read, women have shared video clips about their struggles and aspirations and have called for the reclaiming of the public square in Iran. Quote, we want to be able to leave our homes on this one day of an entire year and to remain in the streets. After all, these are the same streets in which we have struggled for our rights. We have had a revolution in these same streets. We have been bombed in these same streets. We have demanded our rights and have faced crackdowns and oppression and repression in these same streets. We have had acid thrown in our faces. And for the crime of not observing proper hijab, we have been arrested in these same streets. We have stood atop platforms in these same streets and have gone to prison with broken bones as a result. We have passed through these same streets to go to sports stadiums only to end up in detention centers. We women live in these cities and we want to spend this day, our day, in the streets of our cities. This is the voice of Iranian women who struggle everywhere to achieve their rights. Let's support and help all brave women who are in the streets and their cities for bringing their voice to the world. Thank you so much, dear Manoush. I want you to hear the voice of one of my dearest Iranian friends. We had the pleasure of working together, and I wrote her story about her escape from Iran, which was more than 4 years ago. It's entitled Finding Hope in a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. 2 years ago, she produced a less than 2-minute video as a speech urging Western feminists to support Iranian women. And, of course, they have not done so even since this video. This video was viewed more than 16,000 times all over Facebook. I want you to hear Maral's message on International Women's Day.
Hello, my name is Maral. I have an important message to all of the women in the protest rally. I used to live in Shiraz, Iran. A woman living in Iran has no social or religious freedom. Every day we must wear hijab when we go out publicly. If we do not have proper hijab, the police will arrest and fine us. A woman in Iran is the property of the government. She must believe what the government tells her to believe. She cannot travel alone. She must have permission of her husband to travel abroad or out of the country. She is property of her husband. Women are jailed for disagreeing with government or speaking out on Facebook. Last year, more than 73 women were hanged in Iran. Please be our voice and think of us in your rallies. There are real injustice in Iran. You have freedom in America. We are in prison in Iran. Please speak up for us. Thank you.
A very passionate plea from Maral to the Western feminists during the inauguration of President Trump in January of 2017. We have a problem here in America. We have women who are talking about abortion rights, and they are using their platform to speak out against the Jewish community. They are using their platform to bash our president, but they are keeping silent about women who are suffering in the Middle East. And today's broadcast is all about being a voice for the suffering women in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all over the Middle East, in fact, all over the world. Wherever there is injustice, we must have a voice for them. I want to bring home a message to you this morning in the time we have. And I'm going to do it through the medium of my books, because the books I write are books that are voices of support against the oppression of women, particularly in Iran and Saudi Arabia. And about a year or so ago, I wrote a book about a young woman aviator who was a huge fan of Amelia Earhart, who in 1937 disappeared on her Around the World flight. She is a staunch human rights activist. My character has decided that she is going to take the message of human rights for women in the Middle East on her Around the World solo flight. I wrote this book, Dance with the Fireflies, The Flight Around the World, as a platform for my character to talk about the human rights of women in the Middle East. I want to be able to take you in this book right now to a pro-choice rally where Mariah has decided that her voice must be heard for the women in the Middle East. She is much more than a gifted pilot. She is doing much more than just taking the solo flight of Amelia Earhart and completing it, which she wasn't able to do because she disappeared. She is much more than all of that. She is a voice for suffering women. So in my book, I want to read to you this confrontation that Mariah has at this rally in Seattle. I want you to listen carefully because I want to take you right into this rally. And this particular part of my book, this excerpt, is all about International Women's Day. Let's listen. Mariah stepped off of the bus at Broadway and 14th Street in the heart of the Oakland Business District. She had finally emerged from her cell of self-pity and depression and answered the call to be a speaker at the Conservative Pro-Life Women's Outreach. All across the nation, the radical pro-choice women's groups had organized a huge rally taking place in key cities. They had called for more than a million women to publicly demonstrate for women's rights and demand their choices to be respected. A large pro-choice counter-protest group had organized a rally to take place in the heart of Oakland at Frank H. Ogagawa Plaza and invited the media to broadcast their message. When Mariah heard about the rally, she awakened from her bed of self-pity and made some phone calls to the conservative pro-life group, asking for their permission to respond to their radical message. Frank H. Ogawa was a historical landmark in the city. It was a beautiful outdoor public amphitheater located across the street from City Hall. The amphitheater was an amazing piece of 20th century architecture dedicated to Frank Ogawa, who was a famous civil rights leader and had the honor of being the first Japanese American to serve on the Oakland City Council. Above the amphitheater was a huge oak tree towering more than 50 feet in the air and covering the grassy knoll like an overarching umbrella. Below the oak tree stood the beautifully constructed open-air amphitheater with four circular concrete layers in the center, forming a platform for musical performers and public speakers. Encircling the entire amphitheater were four rows of concrete steps where the audience gathered to watch the performing audiences and artists. This was the perfect opportunity for Mariah to bring nationwide awareness to ominous plight in Saudi Arabia, and she could not wait to get into the faces of the pro-choice women and give them a piece of her mind. A sea of pro-choice women had filled the plaza, flanked by reporters and cameramen doing on-scene live radio interviews. Many protesters had gathered under the shade of the huge oak trees, carrying their signs, yelling and chanting their slogans, "My body, my choice. Keep your rosaries off my ovaries. Time to repeal. Time to act. Time to take our bodies back." Mariah stood and took a disgusted deep breath and rolled her eyes as she hurried past a group of women standing directly in front of the entrance below to the concrete amphitheater. Hurrying down the circular steps, Mariah pushed her way through the massive crowds and reached the center platform where the conservative pro-life group had set up their media outreach. She was greeted by the head organizer and sat down behind the woman speaker who was just finishing up her presentation. A mix of pro-choice and pro-life women were seated near the center platform, waving their signs and interrupting the last few moments of the speech with loud choruses of, "My body, my choice." The woman finally concluded her presentation to a mixture of applause and angry boos and sign waving from the audience sitting in the round facing the center stage. "Please, please, let us show some tolerance and respect for our next speaker," the head organizer pleaded with the audience, and then stepped away from the podium, motioning for Mariah to step up to the microphone. Today, Mariah was dressed rather curiously. She was wearing a short-sleeve pink blouse, brown slacks, and her head was covered with a silk cream-colored scarf representing a Middle Eastern hijab. The audience began chanting again with reporters and cameramen flocking to their sides, making sure they were receiving live coverage. Mariah reached down below the podium and picked up a large wooden stick. She then unwrapped the silk scarf from off of her head and planted it on the tip of the stick, waving it in the air. Some of the protesters became quieter, pointing toward the stick and mocking it. Finally, the screams and chants began to diminish as Mariah cleared her throat and stared into the sea of protesters. A week ago in Tehran, a young 31-year-old mother defied the mandatory hijab law by removing her veil and putting it on a stick like the one that I'm holding. She did it right in front of the morality police and a large crowd like this one, daring them to arrest her, which they promptly did. The crowd became quieter, and as they began focusing on what Mariah was saying, she was taken away to Evin prison, where she was interrogated, tortured, and lashed for disobeying the mandatory hijab law. Mariah reached down behind the podium and lifted up a large poster. There were gasps in the audience as they connected with the picture of women hanging from boom cranes. This is what happens to both men and women who dare to speak out or disagree with the Islamic Republic of Iran. They are hanged publicly from boom cranes where they slowly die within a minute after their windpipes are violently crushed. Yes, women are hanged in Iran. Mariah once again reached down behind the podium and displayed another picture of a young woman standing in court wearing a hijab. This is Rahane Jabari. Just last year, Rahane was hanged in Tehran for defending herself against a government rapist. She stabbed him in the back in self-defense. But because she killed a former government intelligence agent, the government decided his reputation was more important than Rahane being a victim. Mariah had succeeded in hushing the protesters for a precious few minutes. The amphitheater had suddenly become very quiet. However, Mariah was not quite finished. She displayed one last poster of four women whose faces had been horribly disfigured and scarred by acid attacks. "I want you to meet four young women in Pakistan whose lives have been scarred forever." A few women looked away in horror amidst the sound of many audible gasps. Mariah put down the large poster and stared intently into the faces of the women surrounding the center platform. "Today, as I approached the amphitheater, I was greeted with loud yelling and screaming by women proclaiming their right to kill their own babies. It's my right! A few women stood up shouting. The women sitting next to them pulled them back down and lectured them to be quiet. Mariah composed herself and stared back into the audience. When you're loud screaming to kill babies as my rights drowns out what should be the louder protest against the killing of women in the Middle East, then you have a serious problem with your priorities. Mariah paused to let her statement sink into the mind of the women seated in front of her. You can scream and shout for your rights, and I'm for women's rights. Is your screaming and shouting for these women who are imprisoned, executed, are scarred for life by violent acid attacks? Where are your voices for them? Mariah paused once again, wiping the sweat from off of her forehead. Your voices are silent. A few women in the audience hung their heads in shame, while others angrily whispered something in the ears of women sitting next to them. I have a close Facebook friend living in fear in Saudi Arabia. Her name is Amna. She is a beautiful 21-year-old woman with great dreams and potential. Right now, she is hiding from her family and the government. Amna lives in an Islamic society that treats women as second-class citizens. A woman in Saudi Arabia is under the lifelong control of a man. The male guardianship law in Saudi Arabia controls a woman's life from birth to death. They cannot make any decisions without a male's approval. They can't travel alone, leave the house alone, apply for jobs, or even go to the emergency room without first consulting with their male guardians. Mariah paused, taking a deep breath, trying to compose herself. Amna spent her childhood suffering physical and psychological abuse from her father. At the age of 19, she was forced to marry her cousin. When she could no longer endure his abuse, she ran away from home in the night. Running away from home in Saudi Arabia is against the law. What Amna did is considered a serious crime of dishonor against her family. They will kill her. If she is caught, her father will send her to women's prison, and she will never see the light of day again unless he chooses to release her. Mariah took a quick sip of water and once again riveted her attention toward the audience. Amna, Rehane, and all of the pictures of these women I've shown you, these women are the true feminists. There was an immediate chorus of boo in response to Mariah's blistering condemnation. I am so tired of fake feminists whining and complaining about their so-called rights being trampled on by men. Get a life, ladies. You're not walking around with faces scarred by acid attacks. You're not sitting in solitary confinement waiting to be hanged. You're not hiding in some rat-infested house running away from a dictatorship government. You have your $20 an hour job, your SUVs, and the latest fashions from Macy's. I don't want to hear your outrage or whining or complaining when you live in the freest country in the world. A group of women stood up, loudly applauding amidst a few other women shouting and screaming protests toward Mariah. After a few heated moments, the audience quieted down once again. The next time you decide to protest and scream and shout about your so-called violated rights, I want you to remember the pictures of Amna, of Rehane, of the acid attack victims. Today, I honor these brave and courageous women as examples of those who have spoken out and suffered unimaginable horrific consequences for their beliefs. These women live in countries where there are no women's rights, and yet they refuse to be silent. The next time you lift up your signs and raise your voices, remember them. These women get my vote for being the true feminists. They should get your vote also. Thank you. From my book, Dance with the Fireflies, The Flight Around the World. Mariah is a voice crying in the wilderness of whining and complaining Western feminists who have no reason to whine and complain when they live in the freest country in the world. with the very best president defending their rights every day. And now we have a movement in this country that wants to take the life of a baby born in the last trimester. We have a country of cultural death and decay and anti-Semitism, and women all over the world that are suffering in prisons, that are being hanged, that are being lashed, that are being acid attacked. These are the true feminists. And today, I salute you women of Iran for your right to go out publicly and to wear what you choose to wear, to believe what you choose to believe. I salute you women in Saudi Arabia who are fighting every day against a dictatorship government. I salute you feminists in prison in Saudi Arabia who are unafraid to speak up. I salute you women in Saudi Arabia who are standing up against the oppression of the male guardianship law. I salute every woman all over the world who daily faces dictatorship governments trampling on their human rights. I speak out for you. I will be your voice until the day you can walk outside freely down the streets of Tehran without a veil, without a covering, without any fear of intimidation or discrimination. This is my prayer for women all over the world today on International Women's Day 2019. I am hoping that in the years of that we won't have to have a day to do this, but instead we can celebrate with women who are free to accomplish and believe anything they set their minds to. Happy International Women's Day is a day that I set aside once a year to speak out in passion for women whose lives have been scarred, whose lives have been disfigured by the abuse of human rights. I salute you women who are unafraid to stand up, who are unafraid to speak out. I salute every woman who is suffering today under a misogynistic culture. You are the true feminists. I applaud you. I salute you. I honor you. I stand for you, and I speak for you. You are brave. You are courageous. You have my support. Dear friends, today, please share this broadcast all over the internet, and let's collectively be a voice that cannot be stopped by hatred and misogyny. God bless you. I will see you Monday on the next edition of The Cross in the Desert.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the
Yeah.